Let's open our Bibles now in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We read two verses, verses 16 and 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 of this Gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning the reading, verse 16. This is the word of the living God, and He spoke to us, saying, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Helper, to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Close your eyes. Let's talk to God again. Our God, we read Your Scripture and we ask You, Lord, that may You can guide us while we are looking into it. Please, God, help us to see the greatness of the Holy Spirit and to praise the name of God, knowing that You are working on us and in us through Your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We read Lord's Day 20 in page 221 in your Forms and Prayers book. Page 221, Lord's Day 20. It's just one question today. I will read the question and invite you to answer this question. Lord's Day 20, page 221. What do you believe concerning the Holy Spirit? First, that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Second, that He is given also to me, so that through faith He makes me share in Christ and all His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. We continue or journeying the Heidelberg Catechism, and today we will deal not with with Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, but we will deal with the third person, the Holy Spirit. We confessed a few minutes ago that we believe in the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the statements that we enjoy most. However, many believers doesn't know exactly what is the work and who is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. We know a lot about the Father. The Father is presented in many Psalms and especially in the Old Testament as the one who speaks with His people through the prophets, bringing not only blessings to His people, but also showing them all the promises about their salvation. We also know a lot about the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, who came and lived among us, who made Himself flesh and died for our sins, saving us for our destruction from hell, from Satan, and from death. But when we speak about the Holy Spirit, many times we speak about a person that we don't understand a lot. There are no presence of the Holy Spirit presented in the Scripture, for example, because we cannot see Him. He is not a person, He's a spirit, and He didn't speak with His people like the Father or like the Son, But we will see that the Holy Spirit is not only part of the Trinity, God itself, but He is responsible for almost everything that we live and we believe. So this is what John is presenting for us through the words of Jesus Christ when He comes to promise to His people another helper. The first thing that we need to understand here, and Heidelberg is saying that in his first statement, is that the Spirit with the Father and the Son is eternal God. Pay attention in what Jesus Christ is saying, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. The first thing that we can see here is that the three persons are again being presented together. In every point of the story of redemption, the three persons will be presented. Actually, since creation, the three persons are being presented. When we look, for example, to Genesis 1, not in the first verse, but in the second, we will see that God was there. The Word of God came to make all things, and the Spirit of God was walking in the earth. He was there, presented there, and He is part of the Trinity. And here we can also see this. Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another helper. Another helper is a word that can be translated in a different way. The word in Greek is parakleton, and it can mean helper, intercessor, or advocate, many different things. But all of those things are also applying the Scripture to the second person of the Trinity. Why is like this? Because here, what Jesus Christ is saying is that the Holy Spirit would come to make exactly what He was doing among the believers. We remember about Jesus Christ. He came, He teach His church, He helped them to see the glory of God, He made many miracles and signs, He made them have faith in the Lord, and He brought them salvation. And now Jesus Christ is saying to His church, I will give you another one who will act exactly like Me. Jesus Christ stayed with His disciples for 3 years, and then He ascended into heaven. But for us, it's very different, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, once He comes to us, and once He abides in us, He will not leave us anymore. So if you are a believer for 20, 30 years, or if you were ever a believer, if you were born in a church, in a Christian family, and if you still believe in Jesus Christ, that means that the Holy Spirit is abiding in you since you came to this world. We are sons of the covenant. We are the people of God. And if we believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is abiding in us. And if He's abiding in us, we need to understand that He is doing this work in us. When we wake up every morning, we are not waking up with our own thoughts only. We are not thinking about life alone. We are not being guided by many different things. We need to realize that the holy presence of the Holy Spirit is always trying to guide His church. That feeling or that voice that guides you to Christ, that calls you to be in His presence every day, it's the voice of the Holy Spirit that you can't hear, that you can't see, but it's there every day because He abides in you. The person, the third person of the Trinity, the eternal God, will be ever, forever with us. And this is another statement that shows us that He is God. He will be with us forever. Eternity is being applied to the third person of God. He is eternal not only in the future, but He is also eternal to the past. He was there in the Council of Peace before everything was created, before the world exists, before any creature exists. The Holy Spirit was there guiding His will, the will of God, to what we have today. The Holy Spirit, it's so important that we can see this, His importance in the works of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. When He was conceived, the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit brought Jesus to the womb of Mary. She was there, and the Holy Spirit came. She didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. She didn't hear any voice from Him. But He brought Jesus Christ to her womb, and an angel came to report what God did made in her life. The Holy Spirit, being part of the Trinity, He doesn't need to ask anything for us, because He can do everything He wants, because He is God. And that means that He is still doing the same thing in our lives today. It's interesting how we see today our situations and strugglings that we have in our lives. Many of them doesn't appear suddenly without any purpose. Many of the things that we live, many of the situations that we need to deal, they just come because the Holy Spirit is trying to guide us to the presence of God. His work is to bring salvation, as Jesus' work was to bring salvation. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and He's working in you to save you from sin, from death, from hell, from Satan, from all those enemies that we have been speaking for a while here. And without Him, we will be lost. Without the power of the Holy Spirit in our heart, our ears will never listen to the voice of God. We will never decide to follow God's commandments. We will never decide to keep ourselves in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we are here tonight, in this Sunday, it's because the Holy Spirit brought us to this place. The decisions were made. But there are always more than one voice in our hearts and in our minds. But only one voice comes from God. And this is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And He was given to His church. This is the second statement of Heidelberg. He was given also to me. What does mean that? Why do we need a Holy Ghost on us? Why do we need the presence of God? It's interesting because this is something that many believers never realize in their lives. We are in a communion with God itself. It's very interesting how we look to the Trinity, right? We look to God and we say, okay, there are God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We know they are one. And we know they have a deep relationship among them. They are always acting together, working together. And we see ourselves disattached to this Trinity. We are not part of it. We are something out from them. But then we realize that God itself sent us His Holy Spirit. He's abiding in us. Of course, this doesn't make us God, as a lot of people in this world believe, that humans, that they are also gods, they have power, they can do a lot of things. No, we are just creatures. But we need to understand that God is with us all the time, during all our life, in every moment, in every second of our lives. This is a very present God. He's with you when you are sleeping. You are not seeing Him work in you, but He's there. He's trying to call you to the presence of God. He's there when you wake up, when you do your regular things. When you go to the bedroom, brush your teeth, drink your coffee, eat your bread. Do you know? We are always with Him. He's there. He's by our side all the time. When we go to work, while we are driving your car, He's also there. When we are working, when we are dealing with so many different situations, or when you are dealing with your children, or when you need to prepare food, He is there. He's a very present God. And you know, He's there trying to relate with you. He's talking to you. He's trying to communicate with you. He's trying to make you realize that you need, for example, to pray all the time. To praise the name of God all the time. To follow His commandments all the time. To worship Him with all your mind, with all your body, with all your possessions all the time. And what then is the problem? The problem is when believers, knowing that God abides on them, that the Holy Spirit abides on them, are trying to avoid His voice, are trying to ignore His call, and are trying to live in their lives without any of His works. Is it possible to live one day without seeing His face, without listening to His voice, without receiving His blessings? No. Only if we are so carnal that we ignore every touch of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do that. We are not allowed to do that. God didn't give us the most precious treasure in the world for us just ignore it. You are not allowed to not listen to His voice one day even. One moment in your life, you cannot ignore Him. Because He's there and He is the most important thing we have. And why the church is sick? Why the church is weak? Why we are not reaching the lost? Why we are not winning the battle against sin? Why we are not following God's commandments? Well, it's because we are not looking to His Holy Spirit. And we are not letting Him guide us in our way in this world. This is a very difficult situation. And Jesus Christ speaks about that in verse 17. This is the opposite of what we find in the Heidelberg Confession. Because Heidelberg is speaking to believers. And Jesus in verse 17 will speak about the unbelievers, the ungodly. And then He says that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. Can you see what is happening here with these words of Jesus Christ? He's saying that those who cannot see Him and those that doesn't know Him, they are not part of His kingdom. Then we have a big problem here. Because if God is speaking about the ungodly, as people that cannot receive the Holy Spirit, cannot see the Holy Spirit, and cannot know the Holy Spirit, and they are being rejected by God, if we have a believer who doesn't know the Holy Spirit, who doesn't see the Holy Spirit, and who doesn't listen to the Holy Spirit, what are they? Not believers. This is the logic, righteous thought, the logic thought, right? Can we live a life in Christ, a life who will guide us to the presence of the Holy God, ignoring the presence of the third person of the Trinity? Can we just live our lives without seeing Him working on us? The natural answer is no. We can't. We were not called to that. We didn't receive the blessings of God to that. But look to what Heidelberg speaks about the believers. So that through true faith, He makes me share in Christ and know His benefits, comforts me, and will remain with me forever. Can you see the difference here? This is about the believers. This is about those who knows God and who are guided by the Holy Spirit. They, through the true faith that God gives to them, they can share in Christ all the benefits, the comforts, and they will abide in God's presence forever. It's complete the opposite of the ungodly. When we wake up in the morning, we must feel the blessings that we have for open our eyes again. This is for those who knows the Holy Ghost, who knows who are their God. God is calling us every day to serve Him. When I wake up, I know that God gave me one more day to serve Him, to praise Him, and to worship Him. This is our goal. This is for what we are here. To praise Him and to enjoy His presence forever. We should not be like those who wake up already complaining about the work that they need to do, about the pain that they are feeling in her back or with the struggles that they have. No, we are blessed by the presence of God. He's there. We must enjoy that He's giving us the gift of life one more day. We should enjoy our salvation. We are saved. When we wake up every day, we didn't wake up to be destroyed by Satan and our sins. We woke up to worship God because He saved us from hell. He saved us from our sin. We are so blessed. We have so many things to give thanks to God. We are a blessed people. We have so many brothers and sisters to serve and to see them serving us. Our gifts are being given by God so we can have fellowship together, taking care of each other, love each other, walk in love, as today we saw in the morning service. Walking in love with all of those who are around us and showing God's love to a world who is in desperately need of the love of God. They are crying outside. We should not cry here in God's presence. With that, I'm not saying that you will not suffer. With that, I'm not saying that you will not struggle with situations that we cannot control. We are passing through a time in our congregation in which a lot of people is mourning for some of those who they love. But even to that, we have the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter. We don't know. We don't know what unbelievers pass through when someone in their families die. Because if we have our family in God's presence, if we die right now, we will cry, of course, but we will also know that they will be with God. What comfort is this? We can rest. We can have peace. Because God's people is in God's hand. And this is a huge comfort for believers. And the Holy Spirit is bringing comfort for His people too. He's showing us His care and His kindness and His love. The Bible says that He works for us while we are resting. That's amazing. While we are sleeping, the Holy Spirit is preparing our way in the next day. He's ahead of us. He's preparing every situation for you. So may you will glorify the name of your God through your life and through your acts. Everything is being prepared. The question is, are we glorifying the name of God? Are we worshiping His name with our acts? Or we are just ignoring His voice and living our lives for ourselves? But even thinking like that, He will be by your side. Here is what Heidelberg reminds us at the end, and will remain with me forever. Jesus Christ also says that He will dwell with you and will be in you. And this is forever. So it doesn't matter if you are ignoring His voice. He will continue there, calling you to God's presence. It doesn't matter if you are living your life for a while to yourself. He will not give up on you. He will continue to work on you, calling you to God's presence. It doesn't matter if you are loving the Word more than God. He will discipline you and He will call you back because He is a lovely God and His presence. It's wonderful. The Holy Spirit will not leave you anymore. It's not like it was in the Old Testament. We saw that happening in some situations, like Saul, he had the Holy Spirit for a while, but then the Holy Spirit left his body and went to David. That is not happening again. The Holy Spirit is abiding in the whole body of Jesus Christ. And He will never give up on you. He is a comforter. He is a wonderful God. And He is a very present God. So, Heidelberg is trying to help us to see the greatness of the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that this means a lot for us today. We are not here simply to receive more and go home to live our lives. We should always remind ourselves that God is abiding on us every moment of our lives. It's time, my brothers and sisters, to deal with the fact that this is very serious. And our lives are not to be spent in worldly things. You are not called to live to you, to your passions, to all the things that this world can offer to you. We are not called to just spend our time in things that are not worshiping the name of the Lord. We need to take seriously the call that God gave to His church. We are called to worship Him in everything. So it doesn't matter which situation you are dealing with today. It doesn't matter if you are dealing with a very difficult situation like a disease that no medicine can heal, or if you are crying for someone that you lose, or if you are far from the people that you love, or if you are struggling in your financial situation. It doesn't matter if you are feeling pain in your body or if your heart is crying, you are called to work knowing that the Holy Spirit is there every moment in your life. Do not forget that He is there. That's amazing, because when we remember His presence, we are not willing to commit sins like we were before. If you erase the presence of the Holy Spirit from your reality, sin is just another time of your life. But if you remember that He's there, what a shame for us if we are planning to commit any sin. And He's there. You never commit a sin alone. That's terrible, right? The Holy Spirit was seeing everything, every act. He was there with you. And we should ask forgiveness to God because of everything we made against Him. And it's interesting because this text that speaks about the Holy Spirit in John 14, He is between two passages which speaks about God's commandments. In verse 15, you will see Jesus saying, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then He speaks about the Holy Spirit. And then, after that, He will speak about how, verse 21, for example, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the who loves me. And he loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So, when we speak about the presence of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is working on us to guide us to fulfill the commandments of our God. And that is why He's always there. Because He doesn't want to see His church full of sin and walking as a God, as they were living a life without the God who is guiding them. This is the Holy Spirit of God who is calling us every day to God's presence. What will be your response then? Are you willing to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Are you willing to leave what we are seeing here in Heidelberg, saying that this great Holy Spirit is working in His church, is guiding His church, is fulfilling the works of God in His church? Or will you just continue to live a life as the Holy Spirit is not there? It doesn't matter the choice that you make, He will be there. But you know what is right. Turn your eyes to God. Repent. And follow God's commandments. And we will be able to praise His name with our lives and with everything we have. Let's close our eyes in prayer once again. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad for the gift that You gave to Your church, for the presence of the Holy Spirit who is abiding on us, who is guiding and comforting His church. We ask You, Lord, that may the presence of the Holy Spirit become the guidance to our lives. May our eyes will see the works of the Holy Spirit, and our ears will listen the voice of the Holy Spirit. And may we will change our hearts to worship You and follow Your commandments. Not because of our words, but because of the works of the Holy Ghost, who is every day with us and in us. Please, God, guide Your church and help us to fulfill our mission in this world to Your glory and to praise Your name. We pray in Jesus' name.